Good morning, everyone. Greetings in the very precious name of Jesus, our loving Lord and Savior, and our perfect example that we want to continue to pattern our lives after. It's been a blessing to be together, looking to God's Word again, and find instruction, encouragement for our walk of life. The title of this morning's message is Walk Humbly with Thy God. Walk humbly with thy God. Think of the subject of humility and walking humbly with God. As I pondered this meditation and looked to the scriptures, I was again impressed with how frequently God gives admonition through the scriptures of the importance of humility, and obviously the opposite of humility being pride, and how God disdains and has a hatred for pride and those who walk in the pride of their hearts. It's also interesting, as we will notice as we look through the scriptures this morning, that God in many verses throughout the scriptures makes a comparison when he talks about humility versus pride in a certain given verse. But it certainly is a subject that is obviously at the heart of God, because he recognizes the human tendency of each of our hearts to be self-centered and to be proud, have pride in our hearts, and he condemns it in the most condemning way. If you would want a text verse, I would probably choose Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. I'll read that. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's where we get the phrase for our title this morning, Walk Humbly with Thy God. He puts that in the category of things that are good. It is good to walk humbly with your God. He puts it in the category of what doth the Lord require of thee? To walk humbly with thy God. Do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Well, what is humility? If you were to look at Webster, he would say it's a state or quality of being humble. Absence of pride or self-assertion. Not proud, modest. The state or quality of being humble, absence of pride or self-assertion, not proud, modest. Daniel Kaufman says that humility has been described as a temper of the soul that prepares us for faith. As we consider the subject of humility this morning, again recognizing it as the opposite of pride or being proud, and you think about how that we are called on to walk by faith in the Christian life, a faith in God. Someone has said, pride is the enemy of faith, and how true that is. Pride is the enemy of faith. You cannot walk in faith and walk in pride at the same time. But you can walk in humility, and if you walk in humility, you can walk in faith. Because you put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God, not in self. A person who is walking a proud walk is self-centered and cannot walk in faith. As we already mentioned, there are many scriptures that we could turn to. I'll just read down through some of them to give us, again, the focus of the scriptures to remind us of how important the subject of humility is in the mind of God, again, as our Creator, who understands our hearts, he understands our walk of life, he understands the pressures of life and our natural tendencies, and we are reminded repeatedly through the scriptures of how God resists the proud, is an abomination to him, and exalts those who will walk in humility before him. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Notice what God resists. He resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These are some principles or directives that we can't alter. God has established them in his word. If we exalt ourselves, we're going to be abased. Those who in pride lift themselves up will be brought low. Proverbs 16, verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the strong. Proverbs 15, 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Psalm 37 and verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The way of humility this morning is the way of peace. The way of humility this morning is God's way, and God's way brings rest and peace. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Many verses that remind us of the snare of pride. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Matthew 18, verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We'll look at that just a bit later, at that passage. A reminder of the humility and the simplicity of a child and how important it is for us to walk before God in that way. Romans 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That goes right into the recesses of our heart. The thoughts that we have about ourselves. In the quiet moments of your life, what are your thoughts about yourself? Are they thoughts of pride? Oh no, we wouldn't go there. We wouldn't have those lifted up thoughts about ourselves. Let's be honest with our hearts. And are we walking humbly before God? It's so easy to want to draw attention to ourselves, and God condemns us if we do that. But he admonishes us here in this verse, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but think soberly. Remembering that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Again, there, bringing the thought of faith and the walk of faith in humility. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you want to stand and walk in the favor of God? Walk in humility. God resisteth the proud. Proverbs 11, verse 2, warning against pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Which path do we want to take this morning? Do we want the blessing of God? Do we want the favor of God in our lives? We need to walk before him in humility. Proverbs 21, verse 4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Very simply put for us there. The high look, the proud heart, the plowing of the wicked is sin. 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This morning, to walk in the proudness of our heart, to live a life in pride, which is self-will, and to not surrender to God is sin. Very sobering this morning. Are we fully committed to Him? Are we allowing Him to be Lord of our lives? Walk humbly with thy God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We made reference to this passage already. The self-exalted Pharisee, expression of pride. Luke chapter 18. We need to come before God with a feeling of unworthiness and brokenness and humility. Not exalt ourselves as the Pharisee did in this account. Luke 18, 9 to 14. Verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Notice that. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The humility of the publican is an example for us this morning. You know, we don't feel worthy to even lift our eyes toward heaven, but we recognize our weakness and our need of God, and in brokenness we cry out to Him. We don't do as the Pharisee and exalt and talk about the things that we have done and how that we are better than others. May those thoughts never be entertained in our minds. God nowhere speaks of pride except in terms of condemnation and reproach. All throughout the scriptures, the verses we read just a bit ago remind us of that. God nowhere speaks of pride except in terms of condemnation and reproach. He nowhere speaks of humility except in tones of tenderness and encouragement. Whenever God speaks of humility, it's in the positive. When God speaks of pride, it's condemning. Always carry that with you. Well, first of all, this morning, evidences of humility. What are some evidences that you see in a person that I will sense in my own heart as I surrender to God and walk before Him in humility? What are some evidences of humility? A childlike spirit. Again, the writings of Jesus, going back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verses 1 through 4. I'm sorry, Matthew 18. Something didn't look right there. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, 18 and verse 1. And saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, how much time should we spend here this morning looking across this group and determining who is the greatest? Who is the most important? Who makes the greatest contribution to our congregation? Who is walking the closest to God, or whatever category we could put it into? Jesus would, if he would know that we were doing that, want us to set a child in our midst and use them for an illustration. Children in their unforgiving spirit, in their humility and simplicity of life, their simpleness, are an example to us adults how we ought to walk before God. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? May we walk humbly before each other, just surrender our lives to him and fill the role, the place that God would have us to fill, to his glory, not to ourselves. It's when we want to take glory to ourselves and draw attention to ourselves that we start looking among ourselves to see who is the greatest. A childlike spirit is so important as we give expression to humility in our walk of life today. Jesus is a perfect example of a childlike spirit and a spirit of humility. Philippians chapter 2. I don't think we'll take time to read all those verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Remind us that he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And may we be reminded this morning that they who, like Christ, manifest a meek, submissive, childlike spirit belong to God's little ones. Can your life, your walk of life, fill the role of an illustration as a child that could be set before people who would be debating who is the greatest among them and say, you know, let's look at this person's life. Let's look at brother or sister so-and-so's life and use that for an illustration of who is walking humbly before God. Are we walking with that childlike spirit? Evidence of humility, lowliness. Matthew 11:29, humility may truly be described as being meek and lowly in heart. Meekness. Not self-exerting. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, as ye have been, as it has truly been said that such people never fall very far. If you're walking in humility before God this morning, you won't have far to fall if you would stumble. May we walk humbly before our God. Another evidence of humility is meekness. Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contentions. Meekness suggests the thought of being above taking offense. Are you easily offended this morning? You know, if I'm easily offended, it's often an indication of maybe pride in my heart and in my life. If I'm easily offended by what others might say about me, when a man's pride is wounded, he quickly resents it, and the result is contention. May God deliver us of pride and contention. It's often expressed with the tongue, sometimes with the fists, and sometimes with more dangerous weapons. But with the meek, it is totally different. When we're reviled, we revile not again. When we are persecuted, we take it. We bear it with meekness. Another evidence of humility is simplicity. It can be evident in our lives through our countenance, through our mannerisms, and by our dress. A proud look does not spring from an humble heart. Humble people are recognized by their assuming manners, and simplicity marks both their appearance and their daily habits. Are you clothed with humility this morning? Is it evidenced by your countenance, by your manners, by your personal appearance? A person's personal appearance says a lot about themselves. Are we walking in simplicity? Boastfulness is absent from their speech. Gay clothing has no part in their attire. And a look of "we are the people" is never found in their countenance. Simplicity of life. Another evidence is modesty. Talk a little bit about that just a bit ago here with the simplicity aspect. We think about the big I is never on parade when the heart is filled with humility. Modesty should be a natural fruit of humility. That'll be manifest in our speech, the things we say, how we talk about others. When we talk about others, do we talk them down to lift up ourselves? And in our appearance, may we walk modestly in humility. Now let's ask the question, why Christian humility? We'll look to the scriptures for some answers for this. Why cherish humility this morning? Why is it so important? Why do the scriptures speak repeatedly about the importance of the walk of humility and condemn pride? Well, why cherish humility? God is pleased with it. That comes through very clear in the scriptures that we already alluded to and talked about, shared. Anything of which God speaks approvingly, so often as he emphatically does about humility, is worth having. Because what God values and sees as is important and holds forth in the scriptures should certainly be viewed as important to us. Childlike humility is held to be the standard of greatness in the kingdom of God. That is God's standard of greatness this morning, to be humble and have the spirit of a child. Lowliness. Secondly, why cherish humility? It is commanded. It's a command of God. Humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Put on humility and humbleness of mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. We are commanded there to put it on. Humbleness of mind. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Be clothed with humility. These are commands that we have. We have in the scriptures this morning. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. We are to walk with all lowliness. The commands of God to live lives of humility and simplicity. It is commanded in the scriptures. Number three, through it, calamities are often averted. You know, God, different times in the scriptures, gave expression of the need to pour out wrath upon sin and sinful mankind. But when they would respond in humility and bow to the earth in sackcloth and ashes, he would turn from the judgment that he intended to do because they humbled themselves and fell before him. The example of that would be found in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah was asked to go and preach to that wicked city. And when they heard the message of warning, what did they do? They bowed in sackcloth and ashes along with the king. And they even said that they should not feed their animals. They totally humbled themselves and prostrated themselves before God and confessed their wickedness. And the judgment of God was stayed. It was turned against them. And they were saved because of that humble response. We could turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I always enjoy reading that passage. We won't take time to turn to it this morning. That beautiful account there when the temple was completed and Solomon bowed before the people, lifted up his hands toward heaven, and gave God the glory for a magnificent structure. It would have been interesting to just see how beautiful it was, all that gold and all that went into that wonderful temple. And Solomon could have took a lot of credit for that. But what did he do? He bowed on his knees before the people, raised up his hands toward heaven, and gave God the glory. May we always do that. Talking about the calamities being averted. Is there a single instance recorded in the scriptures where God visited iniquity upon any people after they humbled themselves before him? I don't think there is. Whenever a people will humble themselves before God in brokenness and humility and search for him, a desire to know his will, and to turn from their wicked ways if it's been revealed to them that they are not walking in God's ways, judgment is averted. Let's walk humbly before God, that someday we can stand before him, complete in him, in humility, and then be exalted before him. Why cherish humility? God condemns the want of it. God condemns those who do not give expression of it. Where there's absence of humility in a person's life, the condemnation of God comes upon that person. I'd like to read from 2 Chronicles 33, a number of verses there. 2 Chronicles 33, 21 to 25. Second Chronicles 33, verse 21. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Idolatry, pride, God despised it, and he was slain in his own house. Why? Because he humbled not himself before the Lord, as his father had not humbled himself before the Lord. Oh, had he only humbled himself before God, judgment could have been averted. Nowhere in the scriptures do we read where God brought punishment and judgment upon an humble person, an humble, contrite person, or people. Number 5, why cherish humility? Is a treasure of great value. A treasure of great value. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Can't read my own scribble. Quick turn to it. I should know that by memory. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God loves the individual, the person, the child of his, that is of a broken, contrite, and humble spirit. So we should cherish those ways and desire to walk in those ways. Those who possess humility are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility are riches and honor and life. God promises to bring his blessing and his favor upon those who will walk in humility. Number 6, why cherish humility? It is a forerunner of true exaltation. We don't seek to exalt ourselves, but those who will walk humbly before God, the scriptures remind us that God will exalt them. Pride invariably leads to disaster, while there is glory ahead for all who will humbly submit themselves to God. May we do just that. Some concluding thoughts. We should avoid an assumed humility. This morning, we would like to encourage us to walk in humility as an expression of life and a walk of life that comes directly from our hearts, because we have a heart that is broken before God. There are those who can walk in a pretentious humility. God sees our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Let's voluntarily walk before him in humility. Humility is from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's after God has done a work in our hearts because of our brokenness before him that we only can walk in humility of life. Humility takes wings and flies away the moment that pride enters the heart. The two cannot dwell together. Let's walk before him in humility. Point two, God hears the prayers of the humble. Psalm 9 and verse 12 says, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. We already talked about the cry of the people of Nineveh. As they in sackcloth and ashes fell before God, God heard the prayer of those people in their humility. May we in humility bow before God, and he will hear our prayers. Number three is an example of humility as we study the life of Christ. As an example of humility, we can study the life of Christ. We read those verses or referred to those verses in Philippians. We know the glories that he was experiencing, the perfection he experienced in heaven, but he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of man, was made in the likeness of man, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can you imagine from the very Son of God and the presence of God in heaven, humbling himself, taking on the form of man, and then yielding to the death of the cross? There's not a greater humility, example of humility than that. What are we willing to give up to walk in humility before him? But because Jesus was willing to do that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. May we bow before him in that kind of humility. And final point is, better to let God exalt us than to try to exalt ourselves. Those who exalt themselves will be abased, will be brought low. It's the human ambition to rise. And I believe it's God's will that we would rise. But let him work through our life as we surrender to him. And anything that we can accomplish must be to his glory. We must direct the glory to him. If we recognize God as a being who is infinitely more capable of selecting a place for you than you are selecting for one for yourself, and for you to take humbly your place at the foot of the cross, bring your talents to the altar, and humbly pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's with that attitude that God can take each one of you here this morning and use you for his glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Dear ones, this morning, let's walk before God in humility. Let's walk before each other in humility. Let's serve one another. Let's serve God. Let's recognize him as the one who has given us all that we have. And as we walk in humility, we can then walk in faith before God. Always remember that you cannot walk in pride and walk in faith with God. We must surrender to him. Walk in humility, and God will exalt us in due time. May God bless you. Shall we kneel for